Elvis, the man, his music and his life is told by himself and his friends. By 1965, Elvis had started the slow slide into oblivion. His hit records were drying up, but his movie business was going great, at least at the box office. No one was very proud of the product otherwise. Can you believe? The Heartbreak Hotel man himself, Elvis Presley, singing Old MacDonald, Had a Farm. It was there in 1965 in the movie Double Trouble.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some chicks, E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there, loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee. With a cluck cluck here and a cluck cluck there, loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee.
No, we won't make you suffer all the way through this, but you gotta listen to the closing line or two. What were the writers thinking? Oh, maybe they weren't thinking at all.
And I'll do things MacDonald's way. E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck-cluck here, a cluck-cluck there. A moo-moo here, a moo-moo there. And a whack-knock here, and a whack-knock there. And I can promise you, those animals ever get out of line, we'll have a mulligan stew. How about you?
The world of entertainment was changing by 1965 and 66. The Beatles have been on the scene for some time now. And in addition to that, protest songs were becoming big. But Elvis, he was still selling pablum at the theaters. In 1965, he only had four top 20 records. By 1966, he had one, Love Letters. And by 1967, he had none, no hits at all. But thank goodness, by 1968, Elvis became relevant once again. A new twist for Elvis and a welcome sound for the disc jockeys across the country as they played his big hit, In the Ghetto.
As a snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries. But if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. Now people, don't you understand? A child needs a helping hand. I hear you're gonna be an angry young man someday. And take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns. And a hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto. And his hunger burns. So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car, he tries to run, but he don't get far, and his mama cries. As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And as the young man dies, on a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries.
Elvis somehow survived the 9 years of no concerts, no live performances, and very few hit records while he was making movies in Hollywood. John Lennon talked to John Winter in 1971 about Elvis and the influence it had on all the rock groups of the 60s.
In the early days in England, all the groups were like Elvis and a backing group. And the Beatles deliberately didn't move like Elvis. That was our policy because we found it stupid, you know. And then Mick Jagger came out and resurrected movement, you know, whittling on that. So then people began to say, well, the Beatles are passe because they don't move. But we did it as an intellectual. When we were younger, we used to move, we used to jump around and do all the things they're doing now.
You always said that, you know, for the Beatles, you wanted the Beatles wanted to be bigger than Elvis.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Elvis was the biggest. We wanted to be the biggest, you know. Doesn't everybody, you know. But we always wanted to be bigger than Elvis because Elvis was the thing. Whatever we say, he was it.
Elvis in the 70s had rebounded and had become once again a pop king, getting some top 40 play on radio stations. Plus, he was developing into quite a country music act as well. And, of course, his Las Vegas story was yet to unfold. However, let's go back to the middle 60s and Elvis Presley, the movie star, where he would have a Saturday night party every Saturday night in Hollywood that he was there making a movie. Ellen Gellin, an actress, went to several of those parties. She noticed right off the bat that Elvis was changing. He was now playing the role of the star.
He was jockeying for a position to sit where they thought Elvis might sit when he came in. Half the time he had a date anyway, but everybody knew it didn't mean anything because he always had a different date. Like, if you go to a friend's house and there are people there, you probably know a lot of them, so you're friends and you sit around and talk with other people. But at Elvis's house, it's Elvis and you're at court and you don't talk to anybody of the other courtesans. You just hope to get his attention. Usually up there you just sit around and watch television or watch them play pool. If you try to engage anybody in any kind of conversation, it was really kind of... It was just super lame. Because that's not what you were there for. When Elvis laughed, everyone else laughed. And when Elvis stopped laughing, everybody stopped laughing. And when Elvis pulled out a cigarette, 400 lighters came out.
Everyone was noticing Elvis was changing before their very eyes. He was becoming more vain, more stage-struck. He was interested in his profile. He had to have the camera angle just right.
Elvis himself presents certain problems, such as the fact that you can only shoot his left profile. So whoever's playing opposite him had better be good on the right side. One time I had him on the right, and it was just for one line. He was crossing around a room, and came up here, and we had his right profile. And he froze up. He couldn't remember the line.
This new Elvis was even being noticed back in Nashville by his old friends, James Blackwood of the Blackwood Quartet.
I believe he went through a period there where he did change some. It's hard to really define it. I think maybe he got away maybe a little from his basic upbringing for a while. And I can understand this. I don't see how he resisted it as long as he did. I made the statement, I could be wrong, but there, I remember at one time I said, well, I believe it's finally got to Elvis. I think in a way he might miss being with people and with friends and in a way, even with all the people that love him and, you know, worship him and everything else, I think sometimes he might even get lonely. I think maybe that's why he invited us to come out to the house. He said, everybody thinks they're bugging me and nobody comes to see me. He says, come out and see me sometime. And he said, well, I guess there was a time there when I got kind of far out.
Elvis was now bigger than life. His recording sessions were guarded like Fort Knox. Bill Williams, Billboard country music editor in Nashville, talks about trying to get in to see Elvis record.
There is nothing any tighter than an Elvis Presley recording session, that is from a security standpoint. It's probably the only session ever done here in Nashville that I can't get into. It's kept totally secret. He's brought in and out a back door under the tightest of conditions. There used to be times when there were rumors when Elvis was here, when hundreds of people would gather over at RCA, and whether he was here or not, they'd be there. Even when Ringo Starr came, some people got into the session, but not with Elvis. There is simply no way. He wants the privacy, and he gets the privacy, and RCA sees to it. The doors are locked. Nobody gets in. And it really is comparable to guarding a president of the United States.
Dick Clark on the availability of Elvis Presley.
There was never an American Bandstand Elvis Presley appearance in person, and I guess he's about the only one that I can think of.
Being an icon for almost two decades now was taking a toll on Elvis personally. It was lonely at the top. Actress Yvonne Craig, who was in two movies with him and dated him occasionally, had noticed a change in Elvis. He sometimes would drink with unusual friends.
He lived in Bel Air, and he had this chimp named Scatter who drank a lot and would go and bang his glass on the bar and drink straight scotch. Now, that poor thing must be dead now because his liver has to be gone. But he used to drink straight scotch, and they'd give it to him. And they would give Scatter a drink. And he was, I really don't know why they ever kept him in the house. Because, I mean, he was housebroken, except when he'd had all that he wanted to drink, the next glass you filled up, he'd just dump it on the floor.
Well, it's hard to be a gambler betting on the number that changes every time. When you think you're gonna win, you think she's giving in. A stranger's all you'll find. Yeah, it's hard to figure out what she's all about, but she's woman through and through. She's a complicated lady, so color my baby a moody blue. Oh, moody blue. Tell me if I'm getting through. I keep hanging on, trying to land this song, but I never do. She's Tuesday, when Tuesday comes she's Wednesday, and to another day again. Her personality unwinds just like a ball of twine on a spool that never ends. Just when I think I know her well, her emotions reveal she's not the person that I thought I knew. But she's a complicated lady, so I call her my baby a moody blue.
Movie years were almost over for Elvis. Soon he would be back to what he did best, entertaining in person and in the recording studio. And his life would take a change. He would become a married man. You're listening to Elvis, the story of his life as told by his friends and his music. I'm Jerry Pippin.